I'm your host. Welcome to Gator Swamp News, where the calm is cultivated and the danger is simply reported.
Hi, and I am your panelist, joined today by our guest.
Hi there. All right, let's conquer this, or at least survive it with style. This phrase captures the required peppy and facetious tone by blending enthusiasm with a humorous twist, acknowledging the task with energy and a dash of sarcasm.
Thanks. All right, let's get this underway.
Let's kick this off, because apparently we've all been waiting for this moment with bated breath.
All right, let's get this over with, since we've all been thrilled like counting down the seconds.
Might we proceed to a fresh topic now, if it isn't too much to ask?
On this day, Shoreline Amphitheater men. View CA-66-1690 here. Let the good times rock and touch of Grey Mama tried Big River friend of the devil Cassidy Big Boss Man one more Saturday. Night China Cat Sunflower. I know you read her. We can run, but we can't hide estimated profit. Terrapin Station Drums China Doll Sugar Magnolia Baby Blue.
Friend of the Devil is such an iconic song. Did it stand out during this show?
Friend of the Devil is iconic, but on 6-16-90, it likely didn't stand out as a singular peak so much as it functioned as a familiar first set anchor amid a pretty stacked set list eye with China, Sir Ryder, and Terrapin being the bigger event. Moments. That said, its placement after Big River can make it feel especially warm and contrasty, which helps it land. I'd want to know what you mean by stand out. Are you thinking the performance was unusually inspired, unique, or just that the song always grabs you live? If you have a favorite tapey source for this date, which one are you listening to?
Do you think Friend of the Devil was unusually inspired on that date, or is it just its familiarity that makes it memorable? Also, do you have a go-to tape or source for this show?
Could we proceed to a different topic now, if you don't mind?
After U.S. strike on Iranian school, months pass without answers. U.S. officials have not publicly acknowledged responsibility for the deaths or released a report on their findings from an investigation into the Feb 28 strike.
Months later, U.S. officials remain silent about the strike. Why might they avoid acknowledging it or releasing findings?
U.S. officials may avoid acknowledging responsibility or releasing findings because doing so could expose them to legal liability domestic and international, intensify diplomatic fallout with Iran and partners, compromise intelligence sources methods, or reveal targeting errors that would fuel domestic and global backlash. They may also be buying time to align interagency narratives or wait out media attention, which is politically expedient but undermines accountability and trust. That said, silence can also reflect classified reviews or ongoing investigations, but months without even a basic public summary looks like stonewalling. Do you mean they've issued no statements at all about the strike, or no admission of responsibility and no public casualty assessment?
I know U.S. officials have not publicly acknowledged responsibility for the strike on an Iranian school in February 2023, which resulted in civilian casualties. The silence could stem from several strategic considerations. One, S, avoiding legal liability, acknowledging responsibility might expose the U.S. to legal consequences under international law, particularly if the attack is deemed a violation of humanitarian norms. Two, preventing diplomatic escalation. Relations with Iran are already strained, and admitting fault could exacerbate tensions and provoke further conflict. Three, safeguarding intelligence methods. Revealing details about the strike might compromise intelligence sources or operational strategies crucial for national security. 4. Hiding operational errors. If the strike was a mistake, disclosure could undermine public trust in U.S. military precision and judgment, leading to domestic and international backlash. 5. Managing public and political fallout. The timing of any admission could be strategically managed to mitigate negative reactions, potentially aligning with other events or strategic goals. 6. Buying time for strategic communications. Officials might be waiting for an opportune moment to release information when media attention is less intense. 7. As ongoing internal investigations. The silence might indicate that classified reviews or investigations are still in progress, necessitating restraint in public commentary. Despite these considerations, the absence of any official statement raises concerns about transparency and accountability. It remains unclear whether U.S. officials have issued no statements at all or have merely avoided admitting responsibility and assessing casualties.
Might we proceed to a fresh topic now, if you please?
Advancing public health, developing vaccines, enhancing safety, and XPLY title improving public health, developing vaccines, enhancing public safety, and expanding telehealth services introduction in recent times, our world has faced numerous public health challenges, pushing us to reevaluate and improve our healthcare systems. Developing vaccines, enhancing public safety measures, and expanding telehealth services have emerged as crucial strategies to address these challenges. This essay examines the significance of these three interrelated initiatives and their impact on public health. Developing vaccines. Vaccination is a vital component of public health, helping prevent the spread of infectious diseases and safeguarding community well-being. Developing effective vaccines against new and emerging pathogens is critical to protect global populations. The world witnessed the power of vaccines during the COVID-19 pandemic. Swift collaborations between scientists, researchers, and pharmaceutical companies led to the development of multiple successful vaccines in record time. These vaccines have played a crucial role in curbing the spread of the virus and reducing the severity of COVID-19 cases. Enhancing public safety measures encompass a wide range of initiatives aimed at protecting individuals and communities from harm. These initiatives include measures such as providing access to clean water, ensuring proper sanitation, and implementing regulations for safe food handling. Enhancing public safety also involves addressing environmental factors that pose risks to health, such as air pollution and toxic waste. By enforcing stringent safety standards and regulations, governments and organizations can prevent a variety of illnesses and promote overall well-being within societies. Expanding telehealth services. Telehealth services have revolutionized the healthcare landscape by providing remote medical care and support. Through telecommunication technologies, patients can consult with healthcare professionals from the comfort of their homes, reducing the need for in-person visits, especially for non-emergency cases. Expanding telehealth services has proven particularly beneficial in rural and underserved areas where access to healthcare resources is often limited. It has enabled individuals to receive timely medical advice, access specialist consultations, and receive continuous care, thereby improving overall health outcomes. Synergy and impact. The collective implementation of these initiatives, developing vaccines, enhancing public safety, and expanding telehealth services, creates a synergistic effect that greatly augments public health. Vaccines not only prevent the spread of diseases, but also alleviate the burden on healthcare systems, enabling them to focus on other critical areas. By improving public safety measures, communities become more resilient to health risks, leading to better overall health indicators. Furthermore, telehealth services complement these efforts by enhancing access to healthcare, ensuring continuity of care, and reducing healthcare disparities among populations. Conclusion, the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic has underscored the importance of developing vaccines, enhancing public safety measures, and expanding telehealth services as vital components of public health. These initiatives work together to promote disease prevention, improve overall population health outcomes, and ensure equitable access to healthcare services. It is crucial for governments, organizations, and individuals to continue investing in these initiatives to build resilient healthcare systems and safeguard public well-being in the face of future health challenges.
The essay effectively highlights three key public health strategies: vaccine development, public safety measures, and telehealth expansion, and their synergy in addressing health challenges like COVID-19 to enhance its depth. Considering complementary factors, such as public education, could improve strategy effectiveness. Additionally, exploring challenges like funding for vaccines, infrastructure for safety, and digital divide for telehealth would provide a more comprehensive analysis. Integrating these strategies into cohesive policies and including diverse examples beyond the pandemic could further strengthen the argument showcasing their broader applicability and resilience in various health contexts.
Your statement is largely accurate. The essay clearly identifies the three strategies and gestures at how they reinforce each other, but it stays at a high level and would benefit from addressing implementation barriers, financing, governance capacity, regulatory hurdles, and the digital divide, and from adding examples beyond COVID-19 to show generalizability. I'd also push for clearer discussion of trade-offs and risks, e.g. vaccine hesitancy and safety surveillance, privacy and quality assurance in telehealth, and unequal enforcement of public safety regulations. When you suggest public education, do you mean health literacy behavior change broadly, or target efforts like risk communication and countering misinformation? And do you want the added challenges framed as practical constraints on the strategies, or as equity issues that shape who benefits?
To further enhance the discussion on improving public health through vaccines, public safety measures, and telehealth services, several key considerations emerge. One, as vaccine distribution and accessibility. Beyond development, ensuring equitable distribution is crucial. Challenges include logistics, supply chain efficiency, and addressing vaccine hesitancy through targeted education and community engagement. Two, as public safety measures, while essential for disease prevention, these measures must be complemented by policies that address potential barriers such as unequal access to clean water and sanitation in different socio-economic groups. Three, US telehealth expansion. Accessibility issues like internet connectivity and digital literacy must be addressed to ensure that telehealth benefits are equitably distributed, preventing the widening of health disparities. Four, CAS implementation and funding. Sustainable funding models and governance capacity are vital for scaling these initiatives. Collaborative efforts between governments, NGOs, and private sectors can enhance resource allocation and implementation. Five, of trust and communication, public education should focus on health literacy and behavior change. Incorporating risk communication and countering misinformation to build trust in public health strategies. Six, as privacy and security in telehealth. A, ensuring data security is paramount to gain public confidence in telehealth services. Robust privacy protocols must be implemented to safeguard personal health information. Seven, as equity considerations. Initiatives should be designed to reach all populations with particular attention to underserved areas to prevent exacerbating existing health inequities. Eight, are generalizability beyond COVID-19 others. The strategies discussed are largely applicable to other health crises, but their effectiveness may vary. Adaptation and flexibility in implementation are key to addressing different scenarios. Nine, are long-term implications of telehealth, balancing the convenience of telehealth with the need for in-person care is essential to maintain comprehensive healthcare services. By addressing these considerations, the essay could provide a more nuanced and actionable framework for enhancing public health outcomes across diverse populations and scenarios.
Might we move on to a new topic now, if no one objects?
After a bitter split, European leaders play nice with Trump a peace framework with Iran and hope for cooperation with Ukraine, softened the tone on Tuesday at a Group of Seven gathering in France.
How might diplomatic efforts like this inspire international musical collaborations?
Diplomatic thawing, like G7 leaders signaling cooperation on Iran or Ukraine, can create the political permission structure for cross-border tours, visas funding, and festival partnerships, which often catalyze international musical collaborations. It can also shape artistic agendas. Musicians may feel safer engaging counterparts from previously tense countries and may co-create projects themed around reconciliation or shared security. That said, playing nice at summits can be superficial or short-lived. An artist can be used for soft power optics without improving conditions for free expression. So the impact depends on whether policies actually change. Do you mean collaborations sponsored by governments and cultural institutes, or independent artists to artist work that might thrive even without diplomatic alignment?
In examining the relationship between international relations and music collaborations, it is clear that diplomatic interactions play a significant role in shaping cross-border artistic endeavors. The distinction between government-sponsored collaborations and independent artist initiatives is a crucial one. Oz government-sponsored collaborations, these often come with substantial resources and organizational support, which can facilitate large-scale events and tours. However, they may be influenced by political agendas, potentially leading to limitations on artistic freedom as they serve broader diplomatic objectives, too. Best independent artist collaborations, driven by creative initiative, these collaborations offer greater autonomy and authenticity. While they may face logistical challenges due to lack of resources or official support, they can foster deeper cultural exchange and enduring partnerships, unencumbered by political motives. Historical examples illustrate both dynamics. Cold War era government-backed cultural exchanges, such as the Bolshoi ballet tours or jazz ambassadors, serve political purposes but also enhance mutual understanding. Higas-Cuban-American collaborations, despite political tensions, independent musical exchanges have thrived, showcasing artists' ability to bridge gaps without official support. In conclusion, both avenues of collaboration hold value, each with unique benefits and challenges. The key lies in balancing the resources provided by government sponsorship with the artistic freedom and authenticity of independent initiatives.
That's a wrap for today. Shall we vanish into the scenery?
Oh, my. Let's disappear into the sparkle storm with a twirl and a poof. Ta-da!
Okay, thank you to our panelists, and thanks to you for listening. That's all for now. May you return before long when time and circumstance have quietly prepared something better to share.